Full facts. It's you know, this is CSU wants to become relevant in this series again. They want to get back to where they're, you know, winning these games. They're competitive. They used to be. I mean, you go back to 2013 McElwain era. So McElwain won two in a row, and then Bobo won. So they had a 3-year run there. Wyoming has won the last four, though. Last year, they won 17-7. The year before that, 34-21. The year before that, 16-13. And the year before that, 38-17. I remember after they lost, was it 2016 when they lost 38-17? That was the year, remember, going into the next year, Bobo had the celebration of Wyoming holding up the bronze boot. Had it playing on the big screen outward, though. Because it's that screen that can play inward and outward. Had it playing outward so that the public could drive by and see it. So they were practiced with that celebration playing all the time. You know, and I don't even know if we were told we could tell people that, but it was on the outside too. So it's like when you walked up, there it was. But that's the thing. Like, these rivalry games are huge. And I like a coach that admits that. Some coaches kind of just go, it's another game. Yeah, we want to win it, but it's another game. Steve Addazio seems to be buying in. Like, so what if it's a little animated, a little cliche? Like, he won't say the name Wyoming, the team up north. I like it. Build on this rivalry. Build it. But you got to start becoming relevant. And, boy, you lose this one, and you're looking at a five-season law, five years in a row losing this series, and you're leading it. I mean, what, 58-48 and five, but Wyoming's catching up. They're catching up. And I look at this team, I look at this group, and you know, Levi Williams is tough. They're going to have to worry about him. But as we said, Valade is a stud, and you know, he's probably going to get his, he's that good of a player, but you just kind of have to contain him. They were bad against third down too. They gave up a lot of, when it was third and long, they gave up first downs. Listen, this team tried to play a lot of man defense last week. Chuck Heater's going to be doing that a lot. And they weren't really used to that. Didn't do a lot of that last year. So we'll see if they've made some adjustments and can compete in this one. First Advantage text line, 31996-31996. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Border war, who you got? Pretty simple today. Colorado State, do they snap the 4-game losing streak to the Cowboys and get Steve Addazio's first win? And if Addazio gets his first win and it's against Wyoming, I mean, all that stuff that happened over the summer and early fall, all the investigations and all the top secret quarterback talk and all the playing everything pretty close to the chest, all that stuff, you know, kind of goes away. I'm not trying to say that a deep investigation to serious matters goes away because of a win, but it already did kind of go away. Now you just have people wondering what this guy's about, and all you know about his wins and losses is that he's 0-1 to a Fresno State team that maybe middle of the road. We're going to find out more. Again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know about most of these teams based on one or two games. You know, we got to give it a little bit of time here. Fresno State lost to Hawaii, kind of got worked by them. So I can't imagine Fresno State going to be that great. So who knows what we're going to be in for tonight. Should be an interesting one. I believe Dante Wright gets back. Ty McCulloch gets back. So getting that speed back for CSU is going to be a big deal. There were some bright spots in that loss against Fresno State. I mean, they did stop the run. They held Fresno State to just 84 yards. So, you know, and we know Wyoming's going to try to run the ball. You know, even when they lose games, when they lost to Nevada, they ran for 128 yards, Valade with 87 of those yards. Levi's going to run. Levi Williams will run. You know, he was 16-31, 227 yards in that loss to Nevada. And he also ran for 30 or 40 yards. Against Hawaii, this is what this team wants to be. You know, Levi Williams threw the ball 18 times, 112 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. That's what they want. They ran for 281 yards against Hawaii. So, yeah, what's going to give here? CSU did okay against Fresno State against the run. Wyoming ran all over Hawaii. And, you know, that's what they're going to try to do. Levi, again, is a threat to run the ball. out of the back to take off and run it. He had 7 carries for 29 yards. Trey Smith had it. Valade in this had two receptions against Hawaii for 32 yards. So that's something CSU's going to have to be very mindful of. Yeah, he's going to run a lot, but Valade is going to get out in the backfield, out of the backfield, and catch passes. And then you have the threat of Levi Williams. I always think that's a dangerous package there. You got a quarterback, obviously, that's already a dual threat. You got a running back that's essentially a dual threat because he can run, but you can use him as a receiver. He's leading the team in receptions. So he's dangerous. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll get to more Border War talk. Kelly Lyle will join me in the bottom of the hour. Also, take a quick glance at Broncos-Falcons game. I got a Thursday night special coming up, Colfax, and I believe it's going to happen. You're getting cases like crazy, but you got the Green Bay Packers, the San Francisco 49ers. Let's talk about that. I'm excited about that one. Should be a lot of fun. I'll get my keys to the game a little bit later on. A lot to go here on today's edition of The Whole Show on this Thursday. We'll be right back. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Hall Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
25 minutes after the hour. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters. They offer top quality parts and accessories at locations in Greeley, but they service all of Northern Colorado communities. You can customize your vehicle to reflect your style, your use, and your wants. Go to their website, crp4x4.com. So the Power to Play Sports poll question, Border War, who you got? Colfax, any guesses as to who's leading this thing today? Even though we have a good chunk of Rams fans that listen to this show.
Yeah, I imagine the vote is leaning towards Wyoming.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
69% of the votes are saying Wyoming's going to get this thing. And I know we have a lot of CSU listeners. So, I mean, you're not doing the homer thing. You're picking with your brain instead of your heart. Ah, now it's 70%. Saying Wyoming. I'll give you my full prediction. I mean, listen, the positive for CSU is we don't know that much about this team. We saw them last week against Fresno State. We saw some issues, but, you know, if this was a regular year, we would have just said, okay, can they clean that stuff up? You know, the quarterback decision turned out to be a fiasco, and I'm going to be shocked. And I would imagine Rams fans are going to be pissed if Patrick O'Brien is not the starting quarterback tonight. And it's unfortunate because we're not like, Todd Senteo seems like a great guy, and I love his running ability, and maybe they can use some of that, which again, I'm okay with the quarterback carousel. If you're using him for a purpose, you're not just switching him in and out to see if he's better this series or that series. You bring him in because you know he can be a dual threat and run and certain. Okay, I'm a little okay with that, but then you bring him right back out. Not that big into musical chairs at the quarterback position. You got to go Patrick O'Brien for more reasons. You should have went with Patrick O'Brien last week. I mean, so what if Fresno State can stop or they allowed a running quarterback, you know, to go all over the place? Okay, well, do what you do. You know, do your. And I know Adazio, I think he wants to run, and that might mean that quarterback's going to run, too. They want to get their quarterback in a position where they're running. Well, Patrick O'Brien, he's not really a guy you're designing runs, but he can move. He can move a little bit and get out of the pocket if he has to. I'm excited to see him. I'm a fan of his. You know, we've had him on the program a couple of times. He's a great guy. He should have had the job last week because then it turned into this whole pressure deal on Todd Senteo, too. And if you go with him tonight, which we won't know until we're there. You go with him tonight, it's going to be, I think a lot of Rams fans on Twitter will freak out. I do. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Broncos, Falcons. Boy, we're getting closer to it, Colfax. I want to see Drew Lock in this. I think this game is very important for the progression in his career, his very young career. He had the world's craziest game last week In fact, in ESPN, they gave him the best-timed quarter. I love that. Saved his career. Saved his starting job, perhaps, or at least the discussion surrounding. But, yeah, I think he's going to have to keep going with that. Listen, I know some of you want to see, oh, give him a year or two. Give him more time. This year's an experiment, and then next year we're expecting big things. I was watching Good Morning Football this morning. Kyle Brandt's talking about, you know, the quarterback situation with even, you know, even in the Jets with Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones with the Giants. And, you know, he's saying, hey, I'm not giving him much time. Because look at all the great quarterbacks that we just keep that keep popping up out of nowhere, Colfax. Not out of nowhere, but Justin Herbert's good. Joe Burrow, good. These guys are good. Lamar Jackson's tearing it up. You're seeing great quarterback play. It's a pass happy league. So if you're not, you know, if you don't know that quickly, you gotta start seeing those signs fast. Now, Drew Luck provided that in the fourth quarter, but what was it? You know? Was it all right? Perfect storm. Drew Lock's finally hitting his guys, moving down the field with confidence. Phillip Lindsay breaks off a crazy run play, kind of gets everybody going. Bryce Callahan gets a nice pick. If Bryce Callahan doesn't get that pick, you know, Drew Lock probably presses even more, and then you're in trouble. So what kind of quarterback is he going to be now? I mean, you can't have him come out in that first half against the Falcons team. Falcons will let you back into it, just like the Chargers. But Broncos country doesn't want to see bad Drew Lock for three quarters and then superhero comes in to save the day. It's not going to win consistently. So I do think that there's pressure on Lock to perform now, and then you go through that test at the end of the season. Where are you? That doesn't mean they have to go to the playoffs. I think they will. I still believe this team goes to the playoffs. But you need to see enough things in this next game and the next two games after that where, okay, the Broncos have these opportunities to put themselves in a playoff hunt, so to speak. You got to take advantage of it. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan, get deeper into this border war, what the Rams need to do, anything we should know about this game. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my buddy Brady Hall on 1310 KFKA.
The Border War tonight, 7 o'clock at Canvas Stadium. Cannot wait. I might get to see Kelly Lyle there. It's been a long time since I've seen my good friend Kelly. Kelly, my friend, how are you? Are you ready to rock and roll tonight? When's the last time you've been to a game?
A college game? That's the end of last season. I've been to high school games, but I was at a high school game a couple weeks ago. Booter was playing Fairview. I was at that one.
Okay, but the college game, yeah, last season, right? Last probably basketball, right?
Whatever the last CSU home basketball game would have been the last time I was at a college sporting event.
Well, Kelly, I know you're a reporter, and you got to look at everything, you know, objectively, but are you a little excited to? I know there's going to be the fans. It's going to be weird, but, you know, being at a live sporting event is better than nothing.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a little bit different with no fans there, obviously, and we'll know it. You know, we're confined. Obviously, we'll be able to go in and out of the press box, but we can't go to the field. We can't do a lot of that stuff. It's going to be strange walking up to a stadium on a game day and not having the tailgating going on and the fans and all that energy they bring. That in itself is going to be a little bit strange. I usually get to a stadium pretty early before too many of the fans are in the seats, but they're usually on campus many hours before the game, and it's going to be a little bit strange showing up kind of to a relatively empty campus to go cover a football game tonight.
Yeah, I usually show up an hour, 30 minutes or so before the game, so I walk a lot of the times with fans, so I'm just kind of watching everybody with their families or their friends getting ready, pumped up, so that's going to be strange too, not getting lost in the crowd walking up to the stadium.
It is. It's going to be very different. And, you know, and that's as early as you can come tonight, by the way, is an hour and a half, they tell us. So they won't be doing the letting us in until 5:30. So,
yeah.
So we'll see how that all goes. But it's going to be a very different scene. And, you know, but they're playing the game. And I think that's a good thing. I think that, you know, at least so far around the country, they have seen zero evidence of transmission through a college or high school football game or professional football game, based on at least a study I read about a week and a half ago. Maybe something's changed since then, but you know, guys are getting, players do get, are getting it from coaches, from teammates within locker rooms and things like that, but they're not getting it from opposing teams so far, at least based on any evidence. So them playing the games is turning out to not really being a dangerous thing like some people thought it would be. So I'm glad they're able to find a way to play.
Yeah, yeah. Rams already lost one game, or didn't have a game, I suppose, but then lost the next one. This game, it's so meaningful for so many reasons. When you break down, Kelly, you start looking at the past 10 years in rivalry games, I'm going all the way back to the Fairchild days. You know, you had some good years with McElwain. Bobo had the good year in 2015 where he went 2-1. But, man, for the most part, especially the last 4 years, not just Wyoming, but rivalry games in general for CSU, it has been pretty bleak.
Yeah, they just haven't, and I don't know how much of that. I think part of that was a mentality that Mike Bobo and his coaching staff had, that no game was more important than any other. I think you got to throw that stuff out the way. You know, let these guys get fired up. Understand that this game does mean more than playing Fresno State or playing Utah State. This is Wyoming. This is a school that Colorado State first lined up on the field against in 1899. So some people don't count that as a game, and some do. Wyoming counts it as a CSU win. CSU doesn't count it saying the first game was 1900. But however you look at it, that's an incredible rivalry. I mean, that goes back. They are in their third century of playing each other in football. These schools are close together. A lot of their fan bases go back and forth. There are a whole lot of Wyoming fans and alums in Colorado, in Denver, in Fort Collins, in all along the Front Range, Greeley, Loveland, you name it. And for that matter, there's a fair amount of Colorado State grads that are in Cheyenne and Laramie and different Casper and different parts of Wyoming. So it means a lot. And let these guys get fired up. Let them get excited about it. This game does mean more. I don't care what and I think at least so far Steve Adazio suggests that he understands that. He's certainly never been around this rivalry, so it's hard for him to truly say it, but he does seem to understand that it's more important, and he understands that, you know, that this game should mean more to his team.
Well, and, you know, I was reading, Kelly, probably from you, you know, get to reading so many things throughout the week. I forget where I'm reading it half the time. But you look at Trey McBride, who, hey, one of the reasons he came back was he wants to win some rivalry games before it's all said and done. And Steve Adazio apparently sold him on that idea that, hey, what, when you come back, we're gonna win some rivalry games. So there's certainly pressure on this one.
Yeah, there is. And as Trey McBride said, you know, he's never gotten to hold that bronze boot. He would love it. He's a kid who grew up in Colorado. He knows this rivalry. He understands it. He's got classmates, friends that went to the University of Wyoming that do go to the University of Wyoming. He understands how much this game means. And, you know, it's tough for these guys when they watch those Wyoming players parade that boot around post-game, dancing around and waving it over their heads every year. And these Colorado State players, there's not a player on this team that was on Colorado State's team the last time CSU got to celebrate with that boot. So it means a lot. These guys really want that thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's so much importance to it. There's pressure for these veteran players too. They want to help stamp that legacy. And this game, I've asked Rams fans. I've had poll questions before where it's like, if you could trade, you know, a winning season versus winning rivalry games, a good majority of them say, hey, I just want to beat Wyoming. I want to beat Air Force. I want to beat CU. Whatever happens after that, you know, whatever. But these are the most important games, and you don't see that in the pro level, college level. The rivalry games are big, and in order to make it a great rivalry, yeah, I want to start seeing CSU win some of these bad boys, as opposed to the last 4 years we haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, you know, rivalries are one of the great things about college sports is that emotion, is that energy. You know, you don't get that at the pro level. They're professionals. They're playing to win every game. Granted, they're trained. They've got their skills honed down. One of the things I love about college sports is that emotion, that excitement, that, you know, these guys, these games, when they win one of these games, it means a lot. When they make a big play in one of these games, it means a lot. And it means a lot more to Colorado State players, or at least it should, to make a big play against Wyoming than to make a big play against Nevada. That's just reality, and that's how it should be. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how this team approaches it. You know, granted, with what we saw at Fresno State in that first game, and what I've seen in Wyoming so far this year, might not be a great outcome for the Rams, but we'll see. You know, they've only got the one game under their belt, and maybe they made a big improvement between games one and two. A lot of teams do, and if they did, maybe they can make this game competitive and find a way to pull out a win in against a team they haven't beaten. And it's been 5 years since they last beat them.
When will we know who the starting quarterback is, Kelly? Right at kickoff?
You know, I think we'll get an indication because we're going to be at the stadium this time. We'll get to see those pregame warm-ups, and we'll probably get to see who's out there with the first offense taking snaps in those warm-ups. So Kevin and I, I'm sure, will tweet out what we see as quickly as we can to share with fans out there. And we'll see. I have my own hunch as to which way it's going to go, and it's probably not the way most CSU fans want to see it go, but we'll see. Steve Adazio was keeping it very close to the vest on how he was going to make that call, and we'll see whether he goes with Patrick O'Brien, the guy who started 9 games last year, or Todd Sentio, who started the opener against Fresno State.
So, Kelly, when you say probably the guy that Rams fans are going to be happy, I'm assuming Rams fans would vote on Patrick O'Brien, right? They would rather see him out there, and it's nothing necessarily like Todd Senteo seems like a great guy. He can run the ball, but you just said it. O'Brien has that experience, 9 games. He knows these guys better. He wasn't awful last year, but would that be your guess, Kelly?
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, because I think that Steve Adazio wants to, he wants to play an offensive style that Todd Senteo is a better fit for, but he's doing it with Mike Bobo's recruits. Mike Bobo was recruiting for a much more pass-oriented offense. He's got Patrick O'Brien's got the strong arm to run that passing game. They've got Dante Wright back this week. They've got Ty McCullough back this week. We all know what Trey McBride can do. Your best weapons are in the passing game with this offense. So we'll see if he's going to recognize that and go with Patrick O'Brien and try to air the ball out a little bit more, or if he's going to be, maybe a little bit stubborn about this is what I'm building for the future and this is what we've got to be, and Todd Senteo's our guy.
So what's so tough about college sports sometimes, Kelly, is this, I don't like the idea of players being able to just transfer willy-nilly, kind of like it's starting to get to, but you have Patrick O'Brien, and it seemed like it took forever for that transfer portal to settle and for him to get his shot with CSU. So you build that up, with a Bobo style offense, and then bam, new coaching staff comes in, and if you don't transfer out, or if you don't think that's a possibility, then you're kind of at the mercy for what that style of offense is going to be.
Yeah, I think so, and I wish every high school recruit understood better. I wish they would look at the numbers better. The reality is the average college football player is going to play for two different coaches during a career. The average college football coach at the Division I level lasts 3.5 years at a school. The average athlete's there for 4.5 years.
Wow.
And so that just says
that's
right there,
crazy.
You're going to end up having two coaches at the bare minimum in your college career on average. And I don't think enough of these guys understand that. And I wish they would look at that. They need to make those decisions on much more than just who their coach is going to be, unless they're prepared to up and leave every 3 years themselves.
Kelly, what did you see from this Rams team last week that gave you some hope? I mean, ultimately it was a rough game for the Rams. The second half, everything kind of the wheels kind of fell off. But what did you see? A few things that you can hold on to that the Rams can maybe build off of, and who knows, put it to use tonight and get a win.
Well, I liked. I thought that at times they had a really good pass rush. That's going to be probably less significant against a Wyoming team that's a pretty ground-oriented offense. But hopefully, that D line it can be just as stout against the run, because they're going to have to stop a Wyoming team that's going to run the ball 50 times. That's their MO. That's who they are. That's how they play. And they're not afraid to let that for everybody to know it. So they're going to have to be good at that. I did think this D-line showed some promise for maybe being a little better at handling that than maybe some of the recent D-lines we've seen at Colorado State. I think that we did see some, I liked what we saw in the passing game when we saw it. And not that Todd, you know, Todd Senteo threw one of the best passes of the game that EJ Scott dropped. So that was just a perfectly placed ball, a deep ball near the end zone. And, you know, late in the second quarter, that could have changed the complexion of the game if EJ Scott had hauled that one in. So I hope that Colorado State is able to move the ball a little better passing. I think they do need the run game to keep the balance. We've all seen in the last few years how bad the offense can get if it becomes truly one-dimensional. And Fresno State forced them one-dimensional. Once they figured out how to stop the quarterback run, they forced the Rams to air it out. And that's where we saw that that's not Todd Senteo's strength. And I think the coaching staff waited too long to bring in Patrick O'Brien, who that is his strength. So I'm really curious. I think there are some signs that this team can you know, make some big strides. But the scary thing is there's a lot of areas they need to make big strides in to be successful tonight. So I think we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think they have a chance, but it's going to take a significantly better effort and performance than we saw in week one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kelly, looking forward to it, man. I'll see you out there tonight, and we'll see if this Rams team can, in my opinion, pull off probably a pretty big upset.
I think it would be a pretty big upset. I'm actually surprised the Rams are only a 3.5-point underdog. They opened on one line. I saw they literally opened as a 10-point underdog, and how that line dropped so quickly to 3.5, I don't know, but it did. So I thought 10 was probably more realistic myself, but I'm not a gambler. So
yeah, we'll see, man. Kelly, appreciate you, and again, we'll see you tonight, and we'll catch up with you next Thursday.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
That's Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Yeah, a little unsure why it's just a 3.5-point spread. Do the wise guys know something we don't? Are there some COVID cases we don't know about? Yeah, I don't know. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. We'll wrap up hour number one. We are going to get Jesse Kurtz on the program. Haven't talked to him in a while, of the Mountain West Network, around 1:15. So always look forward to talking to him. Kind of want to get his thought as the, you know, the overall Mountain West picture, how this game is being viewed. And if he thinks maybe Wyoming is a really good football team, or, you know, maybe they're middle of the road. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Thursday Night Football is on tonight. Don't miss opening kickoff while you drive home. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
5 minutes till the top of the hour. We are going to have Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. Going to mainly talk to him about the border war here and get his thoughts as we look at the Mountain West Conference as a whole. So I'm excited about that one. First event is text line 31996, 31996. Drew Locke's got a little feist to him, Colfax. He was asked today, so I guess a sports guy. It might have been Cowherd. I don't know. Here on KFKA. Criticized his dancing moves. Did you see Drew Locke's dancing moves? I mean, it was, yeah. He's got a lot of energy. Now, a lot of people don't like that. I saw our good friend BJ Hill tweeted me and said, hey, for this guy has the most, you know, dressing around him that I've seen for a guy that really hasn't done anything. And I get what you're saying. Maybe you got to earn it before you can be cocky. Maybe you got to earn it before you can be entertaining. I don't know. Yeah, it looks silly if you're cocky and dancing around. You know, Johnny Football, pretty embarrassing how that whole thing went down, right? He was so arrogant, so cocky, and then it tanked for him. But I like to see it. You know, I don't want robots. I don't care if they're 21 or 22, whatever. I don't need robots all the time. I don't mind seeing Baker Mayfield. Baker's sometimes an extreme, but I don't mind seeing that. You know, I want to see a guy with a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of an edge to him, playing around. It is a game, after all. I just want him to hand the ball to the referee. It's a game. You should be entertained. Drew Locke, entertain us. We'll be right back.